Hello, everyone. It's Shane Kanto.
And I'm Diana Jebbia.
And welcome to the Roofless Obsession podcast here on SPDM through Podcasting Network. And we're here to talk all things wrestling with all you wonderful folks listening. So, Diana, what do you want to talk about?
Yo, Shane, I'm so annoyed because, and this is like a week long coming. So Vince Russo was on Busted Open. And he really got on Dave LaGreca's case because Dave LaGreca's a huge Cody fan, and he's going
Yes.
on and on about how like Cody's actually a heel and he wears the big suits, which makes him like evil. And I'm like, all right, whatever. I might not agree, but I see your point. And then all of a sudden he's like, and he cries every week, he's not a man. And I was like, sir, it is no longer 1991. Like, we're in 2024. The crying does not make you weak. Crying is literally a function of our body. Like, I wish I could have called in. I wish this was live radio so I could call in and school the hell out of this incel, because crying is a bodily function, just like farting is, which for some reason is deemed more manly, but you are getting out emotions of your body. Everyone handles their emotions differently. Some people punch walls. That's also deemed more manly, which is stupid because then you got a bill on your hands, which who knows if Vince Russo can afford that these days. I'm just saying. And then when you cry, it's just emotion moving through you. It's literally your body dispelling bad things, which has no assigned gender. Why is that not manly? And what is so bad about that? Like, I literally could not, like, my jaw was agape at the Costco parking lot while I was waiting to fill up gas. Shane, I was so annoyed.
I feel like we need to translate back into Russo language and be like, no, bro, like,
Yes.
guys don't cry, man. Oh my God. I just keep, it occasionally just pops up like his comments about like Becky Lynch. He's like, dude, bro, think about it. Like, what if she gets like injured and like she has to go home and like take care of her kid? You know how hard that must be? And I'm just like, dude.
Like, same as that when a guy gets injured and he also has a kid to take care of. Like, I just the lack of brain power that comes through, like, is just astounding. And I wish I had like re-listened to it before today's episode that we're discussing now, but I'm glad I didn't in a way, because I just got so worked up and so angry. But it just like, what, obviously there's been moments in his career where like bad things have happened. I want to bet money that that man cried. Like, and I'm sure he didn't want anyone to judge him in that moment. Now I understand, because Nick Nemeth was also on an episode, and he argued that when Cody cries every week, it's not as special, which maybe I'm stupid, but I don't see him crying every week. I don't know. Yeah, okay, thank you. I'm like, is this
No.
just like a man thing that if a guy cries once, they think he does it like all the time? Like, I don't
Well,
understand.
it's very interesting because like I saw more about like Nick Nemeth talking about Cody
Yeah.
and like who's this coming from? Like I know a lot of like fans of like on the internet loved Dolph Ziggler and was like they need to do better by Dolph Ziggler, but like I feel like Nick Nemeth wishes that he was as over as like Cody Rhodes has ever been, and it's always interesting listening to people talking about other wrestlers. Like I feel like it's awkward talking about other current wrestlers in that way. Like I get it, like Bully Ray doesn't wrestle a ton anymore and like has this show. And like retired wrestlers talking about wrestling, every sport does that. You have retired players, talking heads, talking about it. And then you also have people who've never actually stepped in the ring, talking about it. And speaking as one, it's just like, I feel like it's so weird to be going out of your way when you're trying to like make a big splash in a new promotion to sit there and being like, well, I'm gonna take shots at Cody.
Yeah, I have a quote. Sorry. That's why I was like, this thing won't. Sorry. Oh my God. I don't want an automatic ad. Why do automatic ads come up? Oh my God. Well, at least it's promoting WWE 2K, which is like our thing. It will not shut up. Oh my God. Get out. Okay. All right. I'm just going to screenshot the quote. This is a disaster. Okay. Here we go. Thank you for bearing with that. I was like, what is going on? So we said, Cody, get therapy, man. This is Russo, by the way, not Nick Nemeth. Every freaking week, this guy is going out cutting promos. He can't get through a promo without crying, which you and I have just dispelled is false, fake news. Casual wrestling fans, we don't want to see wrestlers cry, bro. We want to see men's men. We want to see wrestlers. We want to see testosterone, bro. We don't want to see namby-pamby cry babies. You know what I want to hear? I want to hear men with an education on my radio, but that's just me. What, Cody? You're going to give your mother a prop that you didn't win and you're going to get all choked up about it? How anybody can be a fan of this guy is a babyface, bro, crying over a prop, bro. He's got himself convinced that he's going to really win a match and have a real title, and I'm going to give this title to my mom and dad, even though he's not here, he's going to be proud. I have so many problems with that. First of all, Cody probably does go to therapy, which is why he can cry because he's in touch with his emotions and how his body works. I'm willing to bet money that Vince Russo does not go to therapy and he's the one who really needs it. I'm probably going to get sued for this, but like, I don't know. Like, I just, well, no, there's nothing to sue me over because I'm commenting on stuff that he said. But like, I don't have an ounce of hate in my body, but I just get fired up when people come out here and insult people on like just things that have no basis of being insulted. You know what I mean? Am I making sense?
Well, and when was the last time anybody cared what he had to say about anything? And it's like Cody is one of the most over wrestlers in the world. So, like, I think he's doing fine. Perfectly fine doing his thing. And yeah, wrestling and wrestling fandom is very toxic. And it's overly masculine. And, it gets that point. Except you have to take a step back and realize you're watching a soap opera for men. Like, this is what pro wrestling has always been. It's melodramatic, it's over the top and ridiculous. And as far as to say homoerotic with a bunch of greased up men rolling around with each other, it's just like, dude, I don't think you realize what you're a fan of, or if you really is a fan, or what you're involved in. It's Cody knows his character, portrays it well, is consistent, and he stands out because he's different. He isn't just like another big muscle-bound man who's just like, I'm gonna beat the crap out of you. It's like so many people are just chomping at the bit for the Attitude Era to come back, which was filled with sexism, racism, and just like plenty of other things that aren't great. WWE is family television. Cody is, well, except for maybe this last week where, he got to let loose a little bit. He's generally a family-oriented character. I did appreciate the fact that he even referenced the fact that he looks like Homelander from The Boys. But, like, he's doing his thing. He's living his best life. And good for Cody. And people need to stop complaining about it. And it's like,
And also, you brought up, the attitude era and the racism and the sexism and all that. Like, why do we want to go backwards when we've progressed as a country, as a people, so much? Like, those things are not good. And I understand that certain people might be stuck in that mindset, but maybe that's why. And I want to put this in the nicest way. Maybe that's why so many people are moving forward with their lives and doing more. And you are complaining about men crying on a podcast. And I don't want to be rude. Like I don't want to spew out like I hate Vince Russo, blah, blah, blah. I'm just ranting. And I'm sure if I were to meet him in person, we could have a civilized conversation for 5 seconds. No, I'm kidding. We could have a civilized conversation about this. And I'm always interested in what people have to say, but it just really fired me up. And you know what? Ever since the advent of Total Divas, that boosted the women's, oh my God, I use this word all the time and I can't freaking think of it. But you know what I mean? The audience, like the ratings and all that. A demographic. That's what I was looking for. The women's demographic went up. We don't care if men cry. Listen, I think it's hot when men cry. Maybe not like all the time, but we've already established now 3 times that's not what Cody's doing every single week.
Cody gets emotional and gets into his promos, and they come from a meaningful place. He isn't like going out Hulk Hogan style. It's like, come on, brother, brother, brother. And I'm like, all the little Hulksters are gonna get in the Hulksters back, and we're gonna swim to victory, and just like ridiculous, like roid raging crazy nonsense.
Yeah.
It's coming from character, and you know what The Rock's doing right now is he's the perfect foil because he's a big bully butthole, just coming in here and doing the complete opposite, and that's why it's working. So
Yeah.
like, it's.
There's room for both. Listen, I may not agree with the mindset that men shouldn't cry, but hey, if that's your cup of tea, we got that on the show. I don't need to see a whole entire roster of like men who like don't cry and hate women. That's not for me. I'm so glad we're at the point where we have a diverse roster. So we have people like Cody, he's like the voice of reason. You said like family oriented, in touch with his emotions. You have your Rock. Then you have people like R-Truth, who's the comic relief. You know what I mean? You have Chad Gable, the all-American guy. Like there is enough for everyone on this show, and I just don't understand why some people, and I get it, it's podcasting, we're all doing what I'm doing right now, voicing our opinion, but it's just like I don't get why some people have to voice their opinion and make it sound like the people that don't agree with them like can't have a say.
Well, he's feeding right into what The Rock's doing because The Rock's really literally calling Cody's fans the Cody crybabies. It's just like that's what The Rock has always been as a character, a big macho a-hole that no matter if he's a face or a heel, is a complete and utter jackass to people. And that's his shtick. It's just who he acts that way to is whether he's a heel or a face. So that's that. And he fit perfectly in the Attitude Era. And now he feels like that outsider coming in and shaking up the system. And it works in this story because Cody is representing exactly the complete opposite of what the hero was in the Attitude Era. He is no Stone Cold Steve Austin. He is the complete opposite of Stone Cold Steve Austin. But he fits into this era. And it's like, fine, go on, blab your mouth. You've worked in this industry, whatever, about making fun of a guy who shows his emotions. It's like, that just makes you look worse.
I
So
yes,
who's winning in this
even
situation is Cody
keelly stated
Rhodes.
what I've been trying to say for the past 20 minutes. Like, you have a very even keeled way of putting it. I like rattle my mouth off and get distracted when I'm doing it, but that's exactly it. And like, listen, at the end of the day, if he somehow ends up hearing this, which I doubt it, like, no hard feelings. Like, thank you for sharing your opinion out there, but I have my opinion too, and I feel like it needed to be heard.
And there you go. And that's why we talk wrestling on here. So,
Yeah. I
what else did you want to talk about this week, Diana?
want to talk about R-Truth, because I really think that man is just like a gift. to everyone. Like, honestly, the way that he ended up winning, which I know you want to talk about a little bit too, like the tag qualifiers, winning against Indischer was so funny because as it was happening, like I wasn't even realizing what was going on. And then once it wasn't until Pat McAfee's replay that it really clicked in, like, no, he got knocked in the face, knocked over, covered the guy, and it was 1, 2, 3. And they even show his gum spitting out of his mouth as he's getting like knocked over from the force of being elbowed in the face. I just like they don't make him like R-Truth. Like I gotta say, he has just nailed it. Like nailed the childlike innocence. He's a grown man. He just has joy no matter what the hell he's doing, whether he's about to get beat up by Judgment Day or he's like inadvertently winning a huge match that's gonna get into WrestleMania. Like today, I had to get my blood drawn and I hate it, but I was watching R-Truth videos because I was like, you can't not smile when this man is on your screen.
I'm gonna throw you over the top rope, Paul Heyman. I just love when that stuff pops up on my TikTok, and I'm like, "Oh, I remember this promo." Truth, you're not in the Money in the Bank ladder match. It's like, oh, my bad. Just, I'm not a
Little
like.
Jimmy.
Oh my God, little Jimmy was a thing. Indischer looks like a tag team that should be able to break you in half. And WWE just doesn't seem like they're interested in pushing them at all. So, like, there's no heat on them at all. Except, Jinder is a heat magnet. So that's why he gets thrown out with them. Like, watching R-Truth literally fall ass backwards into a win to qualify for WrestleMania was just like, well, I'm not surprised. I guess it fits because it's very on point for R-Truth. And I just, on some level, am I excited about a 16 ladder match? Yeah, it's going to be a demolition derby. It's going to be nuts. But like realistically, the story here is the Judgment Day and Awesome Truth. And I'm still a little surprised they're not going with that as the
I
actual
know.
match. But, like, they're going to be in the match.
My only hope is that, like, or thing that I think that they could be going with is like they win in some ridiculous way now with ladders and other people. Like, it could only be funnier. That's my only thing.
It'll be interesting if they try to pull, like, an Otis. Where like AJ Styles got the briefcase knocked out of his hand and it like landed in Otis's hands. And like a bunch of people were fighting at the top of the ladder and the titles just fall down on R-Truth. Like that just would seem on point. The only thing is like we've done so much to elevate those titles with the Usos and headlining WrestleMania last year. We don't want it to end in a title change to end in a joke, but it'll be interesting. And speaking of the qualifying matches, that Creed's and DIY match, that was nuts. And the Creed's are gonna be so like they're gonna be so big at some point. And this is Johnny Gargano's never gotten his WrestleMania moment. And like this is like their opportunity. Cause like how much longer do you think Johnny Gargano and Ciampa are
Ciampa.
actually gonna get like a chance like this at WrestleMania? Probably not after this year. So like I'm fine with them getting it this chance. The Creeds will have their opportunities, but like that was like by far the craziest intense match. And it was great. I really
You
enjoyed
know what's
that.
crazy? I've noticed that the Raw qualifying matches are legit qualifiers for WrestleMania. And then you go over to SmackDown and it's like the qualifier for the qualifier for WrestleMania.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, I just saw it's going to be a Fatal 4-Way match on SmackDown to
Oh, I didn't
qualify.
know. I haven't seen yet. I would pull up my phone, but I'm afraid another ad that we're not getting paid for is going to crash through my speakers.
Because I think it was Santos's crew, and then I'm just gonna call I'm gonna call him Strong Style because I don't want to
Yeah,
call
the New Cats
him
Republic, Banana
their
Republic.
name. And then Street Profits and Theory and
Waller.
Grayson Waller. So like I think it's a fatal four-way match to qualify. And based off of the rumors and the fact that like Matt Hardy was obviously visible at Raw last week, yeah, God, I don't want screw nostalgia. I don't want to see the Hardy Boys be the sixth team in this match because I don't want to see Jeff Hardy die at WrestleMania.
Wait, would they even be able, are their contracts with AEW up?
Don't know, but like Matt Hardy was very obviously visible
He was
on.
injured too. Oh my God, this thing again. Do you, oh my God, shut up. Not you. Okay, I'm not opening my phone. I'm trying to like do something for like the good of this podcast, and my phone's like advertisement.
No, it could just be a crazy rumor, but like it was weird that like Matt Hardy was visible at Raw, and it wasn't even like Bayley and like Naomi like hiding in like the rafters. Like he was in a box interacting with people and stuff like that.
I
So
put
like,
myself on mute because I remember that's a thing you can do, and now
yeah,
I'm Googling that. So
I
just to
just
see.
it'll be interesting who winds up being the sixth team. But I feel like, they're trying to give some spotlights to the tag teams these couple weeks, and that's a good thing. And I could appreciate that. So overall, like the SmackDown matches weren't great. Like the OC is kind of dead. Hopefully they get some heat going down to NXT and stuff like that. Like we'll have to see. Like this ladder match is going to be, it's a WrestleMania ladder match. There's going to be some cool spots and stuff like that. So in general, I appreciate the highlights that they're giving the tag division, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay, so update. Matt Hardy, he said him and Rabby were on a date at Raw, quote unquote. And then, which is also funny because she like in December was like doing the thing where the girl is mad at the guy and is like shit posting him on all social media. It was so entertaining. I love her. But he said that he's still like his contract with AEW expires at the end of this month, and he's still in negotiations with them. Jeff Hardy, though, I'm pretty sure he's injured.
I wouldn't be surprised. He
Okay.
always is. Like, I don't want to see it. Like, sure, I'll get a pop out of hearing like their theme song and them coming out and then just being like, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, anytime they do anything in the match. Because there's a few wrestlers up there that are just like, you need to get out of the ring. And like, Jeff Hardy's one of them. But like, that's not my decision. That's his decision. And whatever company's going to pay him money to still get in that ring, Tony Khan. So, like, there you go. Now, another one thing from AEW that really stood out to me is I'm a big Thunder Rosa fan. It made me so sad that she was out for like 18 months. And it was so awesome seeing her anniversary coming up of her big win against Britt Baker. And like just seeing that, and she finally got a meaningful match since she's come back in this tag team match against Toni Storm and Toni Storm. And it had some good moments. Like, I'm not gonna say like it was an amazing tag match. Like, it was interesting, and I was glad to see Thunder get the win. What's interesting is Deonna Purrazzo was not very happy with this because, and I think this is the challenge that they're going to have with how they're booking their women's titles. It's like there's only one room for two women to be fighting at one any given time. But I appreciated that they interjected Thunder Rosa into this feud.
Yeah.
And then their interaction later was like, I don't think Thunder cares who's champion. She'll take a title match, whether it's Deonna who winds up winning the title and she gets first dibs, or I'm sure she would love to get some revenge on Toni Storm at some point. But
Yeah.
it's that they should be digging into this. Both of them have history with Toni Storm and should be making the most out of that. I'm still shocked that Mercedes Moné came in and didn't go right after the women's world title. They've stuck her with the TBS championship. But like,
Right.
good, because there's not room in this title picture right now. So it'll be interesting if we wind up getting a triple threat match with the three of them. And that's going to be great. I would be very excited for
Yeah.
that. So good things
Yeah.
for Thunder Rosa
Thunder
now.
Rose
It
is
makes me happy.
doing great things. She's awesome. I also think that adding some women's tag titles would kind of alleviate this crowding of the other titles, just because, now we're seeing a lot of tag team action. You even see Julia Hart, Sky Blue. Well, if we get tag titles, you could put them on them and then move that mid-card title elsewhere and have two substantial battles for the world title, the mid-card title, and then you also have like the tag things going on at the side. Like we have 900 men's titles. We could have room for one more woman's title. Like the math is just, it's easy in my opinion. I don't know.
You could literally have doubles of every single men's title because of Ring of Honor. I'm pretty sure you could have. Well, and that's the thing too, because how many titles in Ring of Honor are there for the women? It's just Athena's, right?
I'm pretty sure I don't know anything else for women.
So like, and that's so, you know what that's weird is like they highlight all these other Ring of Honor champions,
I was just
and
going to
like,
say that.
where's Athena? So
The
like,
only time I've heard from her is when I was at Full Gear, but it wasn't even Full Gear. It was the Dynamite, or not Dynamite, it was the Rampage Collision double taping the night before. And I don't even think she got TV time. It was the Ring of Honor match after. And I think she went up against Ronda Rousey. I think it was her. I don't remember if they had another match too, but that was it.
oh God, I
It was a dark match.
wasn't prepared to talk about Ronda Rousey and Goldberg, like just the nonsense on the internet this week of people who left WWE are now all butthurt about it and want to talk about a bunch of nonsense. But no, yet again on this podcast, AEW could do better with your women.
Yep, that's the moral of the story.
Which, like, my last thing that I want to bring up is there's a whole entire secondary feud brewing with one of the title of women's titles in WWE. The fact that we're probably going to get a six women's tag match at WrestleMania, as it's looking like, because they're building up other rivalries and stuff like that. Because somebody has to show damage control. What's up? And we're slowly adding one woman into this equation every week. And this particular week, and this made sense because like Bianca didn't want to help Bayley, but it wasn't Bayley who got attacked in the ring. It was Naomi who is friends with Bianca. And
Right.
I did also, my God, what she did to Kairi Sane just throw around like a rag doll. That was
Yeah.
nuts. I'm just like,
Yeah.
holy crap. And honestly, we've been missing Bianca Belair on television more recently because I feel like she wound up being the awkward woman out of this equation because she's
Yeah.
the biggest women's wrestler that they have that's not in either injured or in one of the title matches because, like, obviously Charlotte's injured. Like, Bianca could be having a WrestleMania match, and it's probably going to be the six women's tag match. And can you imagine if Jade Cargill makes her debut on Friday and injects herself into this situation? We're going to be seeing some very small women getting chucked around like long darts. WrestleMania.
Right.
Just from size perspective, I'm pretty sure Naomi's bigger than all three of the all four members of Damage Control.
Yeah.
And then you have Bianca and Jade. So like I would be excited. And you know what? You're not putting a whole lot of emphasis on Jade in terms of like she's getting a one-on-one match at WrestleMania, but she's part of a tag team match, and I think it would be a good way to get her some big spots and stuff like that. So I feel like it's inevitably going in that direction. But you know what? If the men can have a bunch of mindless brawls every week, so can the women. And that's exactly what's happening with this Damage Control Bayley feud is we're getting a brawl and somebody getting crap beaten out of them every week. So
Yeah. Although someone said it, I forgot what podcast I was listening to. They said it looked like Asuka was hurt, but I haven't heard anything.
On SmackDown, she looked perfectly fine. Because the previous SmackDown, it was like she looked really bad. And then she came out on Friday, she wasn't limping or anything. So like I don't know, maybe she's okay. Or you know, if Asuka winds up not being able to be cleared to wrestle, then I guess you could just have Kairi and Dakota versus Naomi and Bianca. But I don't know. The WWE has enough stuff going on that they can have more than just the two women's title matches, and they probably should. So I'll take this six women's tag match where this seems like it's inevitably going. And does that mean Nia Jax is off the card? At this point.
Don't know what they're doing. That this is like, I feel bad. Well, I don't want to say I feel bad for Becky Lynch, because like there's in the real like scheme of things, there's nothing to feel bad for her about. But I feel like she keeps getting dragged into these feuds that should have been over 20 minutes ago. Like Trish Stratus, which I love that. I love how it culminated. The cage match was wonderful, but everything after I forgot what big thing they had one fight at, like in between that and then up to, until the cage match. No, we could have done
That cage
without.
match should have happened at SummerSlam,
Yes,
but
that's
it
what
didn't.
happened. They got off the
And
card.
yeah. And then got put on Raw a couple weeks later. But at this point, please just use the 2 weeks we have left to focus on Becky and Rhea. And that's it. No more Nia, no more Liv. Let's focus on the actual title match. And you know what? I can just sit over here enjoying stink face videos of Rhea Ripley along with all the other men on the internet. Because did you see that, Diana?
No, wait, what happened?
At a live event, Rhea Ripley gave a stink face to Nia Jax. And of course, it blew up on the internet because she gave herself a
Garden.
wedgie, has her ass out there, and it's just like, well, does the internet need to be a bigger thirst trap for Rhea Ripley?
Oh my
And then
God.
on top of it, I think the next night, Shayna Baszler came out and wanted a stink face from Rhea Ripley. I'm like, bonk, horny jail.
Oh my God. Oh, I
So,
see now. That's crazy.
that happened this weekend.
Oh my God.
There's many a men and women, along with Shayna Baszler, who wish that was them. And then
Oh
the best post of the weekend was Buddy Matthews being like, well, that's a weekly occurrence for me. I'm like, there you go,
my
guy.
God.
Hope his contract is up so he can come to WWE, and I want to see him fight Dom for
Oh my God.
Rhea Ripley. Because to be frank, if anybody doesn't need Judgment Day, it's Rhea Ripley at this point. But yeah, that was there's interesting things floating around on the internet this week from wrestling standpoint. What an eventful week. Crazy. But it was a wild week of wrestling, and I guess Diana, do you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, I think I rattled off.
And I'll just, you know, wrap things up by saying, Goldberg, shut your mouth and leave Asuka alone. She's better than you.
See how tame that was in comparison to me?
But that is another week here on the Ruthless Obsession podcast. And please make sure to check out Hi-Fi Creative, who did a great job on our logo here. So if you need anybody to do some great logos for anything you're looking for, check them out. But I'm Shane.
I'm Diana.
And thank you for always tuning in and supporting the Ruthless Obsession podcast.
Thank you.